You be seated. We come today to celebrate the life and the homegoing of Austin James Holland. To some of you, this service may seem a little different. Paul said over in the book of Thessalonians that we sorrow not as them that have no hope. And so, though the death angel has passed by, And of course, there's grieving and sorrow, and we miss him. But he's in a new life now. He just turned the page, and he's over. While we said goodbye over here, they said hello over there. Job said, "Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I go from this world." And God gave, and God took away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. We came in to praise the Lord today. I thought about what to try to say for this time, and a boy that liked 1 month being 20 years old. In our eyes, it may be pretty drastic. But in God's eyes, it's right on time. It's right in His plan. So, on Sunday, the 12th of 2012, Austin passed from this life. And he was born March the 12th, 1992, in Bedford, to Douglas and Cecilia Holland. He was a lifelong area resident. He was a 2010 graduate of Saginaw High School. He was a sports man and a sports fan. He loved watching and he loved playing football. He loved animals. He had a dog named Copper. And he had, as it evidenced here today, he had a lot of friends. There were a lot of people who knew Austin. A lot of people liked Austin. He was a popular guy. Probably most importantly, he was a Christian. At least it's most important this day. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day." And that's really the question of this hour for everybody in this auditorium. Am I ready for this day? Austin's testimony was one of salvation. The last conversation I had with Austin about a month ago, 6 weeks ago maybe, back in the hall after a service, I said, "Austin is so glad to see you back in church." He said, "Brother Wayne, I want to get back. And I'm trying to get back." I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that conversation. I'm thankful for the testimony that he gave his parents recently. He's survived by Doug and Cecilia Holland. Some of us struggle with the everyday. I wish you'd take a long look at these parents. Not for who they are, but for the grace of God that has been demonstrated in their lives these days. They're a testimony of what God's grace can do. A brother Colton, sister Rachel, sister Jennifer, brother Jonathan, and sister Katie, all of Saginaw, grandparents Eddie Holland, of Euless, and Betty Holland of Richland Hills, and great-grandfather Eddie Holland of Irving, Felicia Benavides is right here, his girlfriend, nephew Aiden Robertson, and uncles Kenneth Holland and Paul Robertson, and his wife Penny, and cousins Stephen and Larry Holland, and you, his friends. I want to read one passage of Scripture. I'm not the preacher. I'm just here to make some comments. I've been all morning getting to this passage in Psalm 103. I want to read 8 verses out of that passage, beginning in verse 10. The very first thing he does in this passage is challenge us with his availability. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Just let me stop here and say, we're not blind and we're not ignorant. We do know, we want to be honest enough to say, Austin made some mistakes. You have too. I have too. Thank God that He does not deal with us on the level of our mistakes. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That's a wonderful promise. Then there's a caution. The caution is not for Austin, it's for each one of us. And here it is. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it. It is gone, and the place thereof remembers it no more. He won't be back. He's gone. But the lesson for you or me is, hey, he's not 20 years old. The Bible does say that my times are in his hand, and your times are in his hand. And so here's the caution. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day will bring forth. Last Wednesday, when I saw Austin the last time, I was so busy that night. And I wanted to go speak to him and talk to him. And the first thing I knew, he was gone, and I didn't say it. You may be putting off some important decisions in your life right now. It's the time to think about it. You're just a grass. You bloom and then you're gone. But here's the comfort. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. That means His mercy started back there somewhere before this world was ever spun into space. And the great names have paraded across the stage of history, and one by one they're gone, and the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And we're here today, but we may not be here tomorrow, because we'll be gone too. But our comfort is this. He did not step into nothing. He stepped into eternity. And eternal life began at His salvation point and will continue everlasting with the Lord. Everlasting. Only upon them that fear Him. And His righteousness is unto the children's children, to such as keep His covenant. And to those that remember His commandments to do them. You know, our comfort is in His salvation. His salvation rested in the fact that he had someone who pointed him to the Savior. And I'm eternally grateful for that. I'm glad we don't just have to say, well, we're going to the cemetery and that's all of Austin. But one day we will see him again if we know the Savior he knows. Let's bow for prayer, please. Father, I do thank you and bless your holy name today. I want to praise you for the life of this young man and for the joy that he brought to his family and even for the heartaches. Lord, he lived life as each of us are doing. Thank God that somewhere along the way he made his choice and settled it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm glad that our salvation doesn't rest on our good deeds. I'm glad that you don't judge us for those past sins and mistakes that we have made. But Lord, as we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins. I'm glad that we can come today not without hope, but with hope, an everlasting hope that is built in the person and power of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we don't depend on ourselves, but I'm glad that we come today in the name of Him who is able to deliver us. And God, I ask you now to just give utterance and unction and authority to the Word of God that goes out today. Bless those who will speak. Bless those that are here. Help us to open our hearts and be honest with you today. Thank you, Lord, that we can remember Austin. Thank you that we can look forward to Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen.
Losing Austin at this time is a tragedy for us, but I'd like you to consider that it also may be a merciful act of a merciful God. You know, it's kind of like infants when they pass away. We question why. Why would God take this little baby, or why would God take Austin in the prime of his life? Why would God do this? The fact may be that God knows more than we do. That he knows the pain and suffering that Austin may have to incur the rest of his life with lupus. It may mean that God knows things that occur that will break his own heart and break others. And from his merciful act, he saved him from a life maybe of tragedy more. You see, God's got a bigger plan than just you and me and what we think. You only know what's already happened, and you know what's happening this very moment, but you have no clue what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen this next election or this next year. But we know that the one constant that's always been is God. And that we can put trust in God and not man. Man will fail you. People will abandon you. They'll change their mind. They'll go different directions. But God will always stay constant. And that's proven in the life of Austin. Psalm 115 and verse 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." He's got a plan. He's got a merciful, graceful plan. People's outlook upon God is twisted too often today. A few times I had the opportunity to have a lengthier discussions with Austin about the Bible, questions he'd brought up in the foyer or hallway or down in the fellowship hall. And each time that we talked, it was surrounded on the same things. And that was the acts that are done in this body, the things that you do in this body, don't warrant heaven and don't disqualify you from heaven. The things that you do won't keep you out of heaven, and the things that you do won't get you into heaven. It's not an act of the body. It's an act of the soul. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You see, there's more to our life than what you see on the outside. There's more to our life than this body and what we go through. No doubt, Austin's body lies before us this morning or this afternoon. But he does not. See, his body lies here, but his soul is immortal. It's eternal. You also have an eternal soul. And there's consequences to that soul. And no matter what you've done in this body, or what religion you come from, or what denomination you hold to, or how many things you've done religiously in your life, those things of the body could never get you into heaven, because there's no such thing as that in heaven. Your body's got an expiration date. It won't last forever. But your soul will last forever. We'll be going to Mount Olivet here shortly with this casket, which houses Austin's body, which we've all shaken hands with, hugged his neck, talked to him, had conversations with, saw him down the hallways. But the real Austin, the core of who you are, is what God made alive, and that's your soul. You see, He breathed the breath of life in him, and Adam became a living soul. There needs to be a distinction between the body that you see and the living soul that's within you. And that soul has a destination. This body is going to be destined for Mount Olivet Cemetery here in a few minutes. But that soul was destined for heaven, because Austin, as a child, made a decision that he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And as Brother Wayne said, we're not blind to think that the mistakes that he's made and the deeds that he's done, no matter if he's blessed your life or the mistakes that he has made, doesn't define Austin. What defines Austin is his relationship with Jesus Christ. That he has a heavenly Father. That he trusted Christ for his eternal soul. Now, we all trust our car to take us home. We all trust our friends to help us with this or that, or our bank accounts to make sure that our debit card won't overdraft at Taco Bell. But where are you going to trust your eternal soul to? Something of this life that you can see? Or something that is eternal like Jesus Christ? Today is a perfect day for you to have a reappraisal of your life. Today is a perfect day for you to consider your own life. You will not live forever, and you are not promised tomorrow. Anything can happen. Between now and then, though, if you don't trust Christ as your eternal Savior, the Bible says that the wages of sin, the sin that has compassed our life, the wages, the payment for the sin, is death. When your soul separates from your body, and you've not trusted Christ, your soul is destined for the lake of fire. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, and your soul separates from this body, as has done Austin's, then your soul will be destined for heaven, to be in glory with God forever. It's time to reappraise your life for just a minute. So I'm a bad person. Listen. That was also a nice conversation. Every time we had a conversation was, it's not about the deeds of this life, it's about your soul. What's the condition of your soul? Where do you stand with God today? Brother Turner will give the gospel here shortly. You will hear the details as to what that means and what we can do about it. But you must ask yourself first, have I made that decision myself? We're already seeing evidence that God is going to get glory out of this. Don't get mad at God. Don't resent Him for this. Don't shake your fist and blame Him. God is all-knowing. He knows better than you and me. And He's doing a great work in all of our lives. It's amazing how many people now have reconsidered their life. How many friends of Austin's have rethought through their life and rethought their relationship with God. Listen, now is the time to do that. Now is the time to really consider, where am I going to go when I leave this place? What's going to happen when this body falls? Where's my soul going to end up? You have a destiny. Are you trusting God with it or yourself? I promise you that the only comfort you will ever find and the only hope that you'll ever experience is in Jesus Christ. Nothing will satisfy it. Nobody could ever give you enough comfort, enough joy. You can ask Cecilia and Doug, and I've talked to them on the phone and even in person today. The only hope that they've exercised and the only experience that they're having of any kind of joy right now is because they know for a certain the only hope they have is that Austin accepted Christ as a Savior and he is now in heaven. And they have too, and they're going to go see him one day. My question for you is, will you? It's the see, it ain't over today. He's more alive right now than he has ever been. And if you want to know more about that, the attorney's going to give an invitation at the end of this. And there's a host of people in this room that will show you exactly what you got to do to see Austin one day again. Thank you.
Unkind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah, I'm longing for you, and someday on the house stand, there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet I'm looking now across the river where my faith will end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on the I'll stand, there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land,
man, I love that song. Longing for that land, Beulah land. Well, as pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church, I want to publicly declare how honored we are as a church to minister to this dear family, precious family to us and to this pastor, but also to all of you. Love and today, Miss Austin, We're trusting that what goes on here today, what's already gone on here today, would minister to your hearts and indeed to your soul, that we can sense and know the glory that Austin now experiences and knows. He's talking to his dad in the hall a little while ago. And this may seem strange to many of you, but we concurred completely that if Austin could leave where he's at to come here today, he would not do it. He's experiencing heaven, experiencing the glory of heaven. He's not only in that better place that we so often speak of, dear ones. He's in the best place that anyone will ever experience. And so as we come together today, we come together, as Brother Hudson mentioned, to celebrate Austin. I celebrate most of all the reality that he did indeed know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and is in the very presence of his God even now. Now, Monday, I had talked to Cecilia and Doug and asked them maybe that they could write some things down just to help me about them and their relationship with Austin. And everybody wrote something down. And I've treasured those notes this week as I've read them over and over again. And one thing stands out. It was about relationship there, and their love for each other. Each of the children shared something special that they liked to do with their brother, from Jennifer all the way down to Katie. Whether it was playing a video game or watching a late night show on the History Channel, or just being together. It was in Colton's note to me that he shared an admiration for his brother. It was clear that he admired his brother. And I think that that admiration, that mutual admiration that was there between them all as a family, is what carried them through the good times, but also what sustained them and carried them through some times that weren't so good, that were hard and that were tough. Now, I want to begin this afternoon reading a couple of verses, and I want to be honest with you. This is not I've never used this passage of Scripture in preaching a funeral before, but I trust it was the Holy Spirit of God convinced me this was where we needed to go. I'm going to read to you from the book of Psalms and Psalm 25. And just a couple verses there where David writes these words and he says, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins," David asks. You know, there's no question. We all realize, we all knew that Austin understood what pain was all about. He had no choice but to deal with that pain. He dealt with it every day of his life these last few years. And with every day over these last 3 years, that pain was getting worse and worse. And this old world, beloveds, full of trouble, is it not? Full of trouble. There's distress, there's pain, there's affliction. And in many ways, Austin dealt with all that. He lived all those different things that we struggle with and that we battle. David speaks of those things in this passage here that we read. And And I'm begging God that He might be pleased to speak to hearts this afternoon. So look around this auditorium. It's filled with young folk. And young people, I'm asking you, please, would you please lend me your ear for a little bit? Listen. If Austin could, he would tell you that. Listen. Listen to what the Word of God might say to you. We see that the passage speaks of troubles of heart. Troubles of heart. David said, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged." You know, this may seem trite, but I really feel sorry for young people today, and I mean that honestly. I'm about as old as dirt, but I can still remember what it was like to be young. I can still remember what it was like to be Austin's age, 19, nearly 20 years old. And, I was about as dumb as a box of rocks, to tell you the truth, in those days. Not a whole lot brighter than that now. Trying to sort things out. Trying to understand things. It was hard then for me. And I know it's much, much harder today than it was then. Especially as this world in which we live, the society in which we move in, is trying its best to push and squeeze God out of public life. I feel sorry for young folk today because the answers they so desperately need are often being pulled out of their reach, removed out of their reach. What's right? What's wrong? On one hand, this old world tells them that there's little or anything that can be trusted or relied on. Where do they find answers? Where do you find answers today? What can you believe? What can you believe? But then as well, as David relates here, there's an anguish of the soul. He says, "Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses." Interesting that David says not just distress, but his distresses. As he would struggle and battle things on every side, compounded with the troubles of the heart, young people are also trying to sort out whether there's anything that they can believe in for their soul. As was related earlier, when we say use that word soul, we're talking about that heart of hearts. That you only are understand and know. What is this crazy life all about? What's the point anyway? Most importantly, is there a God? Is there a God? How can there be a God when there's so much distress, anguish, and pain? Is the Bible a book written by men, or is it really something that God gave us? And then, how can I know? How can I know? It may work for Dad and Mom, but what about me? What about me? Such questions. For someone like me, some of us here today that have settled those things long, long ago, we can forget what a battle it is, what a struggle it is, as you're trying to work through those things. There can be real anguish and distress over such things, even though you grow up in a Christian home where the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of everything, as Austin did. The question is still, what about me? How do I fit into all of this? But then as well, we see here in this passage that David speaks about pain and affliction. He says, look upon my affliction and my pain. And this has been mentioned, and as we know, that lupus was creating havoc in Austin's body. It had begun attacking the nerves and was dealing out to him physical pain that few of us, and especially most young people, understand. Doug and Cecilia was telling me the other day that he had put in more job applications than he could even count. All over the place, he put in job applications. But those forms that you fill out, they usually have a place in there for you to deal with any physical issues, physical problems. And of course, to be honest, you'd have to fill in there some of those things that he was dealing with. His disease. Consequently, the phone never rang. And adding to the normal troubles of a young man's heart and the anguishes of soul, there's also the question for Austin, what kind of a future do I have? What do I have to look forward to? I'm very thankful. I'm so thankful that David tells us about the answer to it all. David, the Word of God, does give us the answer. And Austin did grow up in a home where the Lord Jesus Christ was the most important person above all. He grew up hearing about how God loves you, how God loves him. Present tense. Jesus, beloved. Jesus is the answer for a troubled heart. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What was Jesus saying? You believe that there's a God in heaven? Believe also in me. Trust me, was what Jesus was saying to His disciples. Jesus said those words to those that He loved, to those that loved Him. He said those words to those who followed Him and His leadership. He said those words to them to prepare them for His departure. Preparing them when He would leave them. You see, it was not just hours from the time the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, that He would go to the cross of Calvary and there die for their sins and for our sins. He would be buried, and on the third day He would rise again from the dead in victory. You listen? In victory over death and victory over the grave. Austin has the victory this afternoon. We grieve, we're sorrow, but Austin has won the battle in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, young people, I don't insist that you believe me, but I plead with you. I beg you, believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what the Lord Jesus says. You can trust Him. Colton wrote to me the other day that Austin's friends, that's you all, Austin's friends knew him as someone that was trustworthy. Trustworthy. that He was real. You know, that's an admirable quality. Someone that you can count on. Someone whose word is what it was. His yea was His yes and His nay, no. He didn't have to think about what He meant. Beloved, Jesus is real. He is absolutely and completely trustworthy. What He says, you can trust. You can count on. Jesus wants us all to know that He is that one that we can believe. We also see that Jesus is not only the answer for a troubled heart, but He's also the answer for an anguished or distressed soul. Do you want something? Do you want something for your soul? Do you need answers? In a day like this, answers are important. Jesus has those answers. Jesus wants us all. He wants us all to have that peace and the hope and the confidence, not only for today, but for all of eternity. He wants you to have that peace. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." It's talking about folks that are troubled. Talking about folks that are carrying a load. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will." Not maybe, not might, not possibly. Jesus says, "I will give you rest. I will rest you. I will refresh you." The Lord Jesus is ready and He's willing to take the load off your troubled heart and your anguished soul. He will give the rest that transcends the pain. Now listen to this, please. We read a moment ago from John chapter 14, verse 1, where the Lord Jesus says, "You believe in God, believe in Me also." And then in verse 2, He says, "In My Father's house," God the Father's place, "in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus is saying to those ones He loved, those ones that loved Him, that "I will not lie to you. If this was not so, I would not say it." Let me begin again. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." What's He doing? He's now preparing that place for you. And then He says this, Jesus says this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Now, dear ones, I learned a long time ago that anything important, anything good that takes place in my life, that's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. You listen? It's all about Him. But as I was reading these verses, even early this morning, something came alive to me that I don't know as I noticed before. And I want us to look at it. As the Lord Jesus makes this promise, He promises you, He promises me, that in His Father's house indeed are many mansions. He's talking about that place that He's preparing for you in heaven and in glory. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." You see, for me, Anything good is Him. Anything important is Him. But with Him, it's all about you. It's all about me. He wasn't concerned about Himself. He was concerned about us. Listen to this. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye or you may be also. What's He saying? It's about you. His life, His death, His resurrection was about you and about me. Jesus. And I think about this with Austin so much. Jesus knows all about your pain. Your pain. No one, absolutely no one, understood pain better or in a greater way than the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the agony of pain. He knew the anguish of hurting. He not only understands physical pain, but He understands the pain of being rejected. Rejected by those He loved. Rejected by His own. He understands, Jesus understands distress. He understands the anguish of your soul. It was His longing, it was His desire that folk just like you, just like me, would trust and believe in Him. And yet, the Lord Jesus is the one who relieves all pain and all sorrow. I want to read some awesome words. They're awesome because they're not my words. They're the words of our God. In the book of Revelation, we come to the 21st chapter, and the Apostle John is there, and he's given this vision. He's given a glimpse behind the veil of eternity into heaven. That new heaven, the new earth. And he says this, he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God.'" Now listen to this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death." Not another funeral. "Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He cannot lie to us. "And He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.'" Brother Travis was talking a little bit ago It's not the works that I do in this body. It's not the works that I don't do in this body. It's what Jesus Christ did for us. It was His willingness to go to that cross of Calvary and die that horrible, anguishing, painful death. But beloved, as He was taken from that cross and placed in that tomb, on the third day, He rose from the dead in victory over pain and death and the grave. And the victory, beloved, is free to all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus knows all about our pain. And He paid the price for us. Did Austin believe these things? Yes, he did. Over the last while, hallelujah, over the last while, God was giving Austin some real help. The things he learned about God as a child were once again becoming real to him. He was once again finding hope and joy and peace in the promises of God's Word. Brother Hudson mentioned last Wednesday night, just a week ago, last night, Austin sat with Mom and Dad just, not even 10 feet from where we were teaching and studying the Bible, in our regular Bible study on Wednesday night. And his eyes, as I looked over at him and saw him sitting there, it was a different Austin than I'd seen some months ago. Austin's eyes were fastened on what we were studying. And I looked into his eyes, I could see that it wasn't just there. He was there. And he was part of what was going on. What were you studying, preacher? We were studying the hope that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were talking and studying about the inheritance that is ours because of what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. I'm so glad Austin was there that night. I'm no doubt whatsoever. I have no question in my mind whatsoever that if Austin could speak to us today, he would say to us, "You can. You can believe God. You can trust the Bible." Austin would tell us today that you can have that peace and joy and hope. That you can have the answers that you need from God and from His Word. In verse 18 there in Psalm 25, David says something very, very important. He asks God to forgive all his sins. Every one of us have got to get to the place, if we're going to know God, that we're willing to seek His forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from..." Oh, thank you, Lord. All unrighteousness. Austin's family are very concerned about you. Austin's family are concerned that you have opportunity to know that you've been forgiven of your sin. They're concerned that you will know that one day you'll be reunited with Austin in glory. Because yes, indeed, though there's grieving, though there's sorrow today, for all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a grand and glorious reunion day ahead. They want you to know that you can be saved. That you know, you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Those that are willing to put their trust, their faith for their eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we want to do this afternoon, and the family has asked me to do this, what we want to do is to give you opportunity right now to make sure of your salvation. I beg you, young ones, old, please, if there is any question in your mind where you will spend eternity, because every one of us face this day, if there is any question in your mind where you will spend eternity, I plead with you. Miss April's going to come and she's going to play some music. I'm going to step down here. And there's folk here. There's preachers. There's counselors. If there's any question where you will spend eternity, if there's any question in your heart whether you'll see Austin again, please, step out. Come. We'll do our very best to point you to Jesus. Please stand with me. Father, we bow before You this afternoon. And Lord, we've done our best, frail and feeble as that might be, to present to this congregation a message of, yes, Lord, just truth, honesty. I'm so thankful, Father, that You have the answers for troubled hearts, and anguished souls, painful bodies. And Father, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, these young people in this auditorium, please speak to their hearts. Lord, I just long that You might be pleased to hold up before them how much Your Son cares and loves them. Please, Lord, speak to their hearts. And even now, Father, please help them step out. Come. Put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Please, young people, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate a second. If you need the Lord Jesus Christ, come. Join Felicia. Others, please come. Come, don't wait. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend the rest of time? Please, obey the Lord. Do what He'd have you to do. You come. Please be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. Do you know where you'll spend eternity, dear ones? Please, please. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Don't turn away from that. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. Music plays. Maybe you realize that if you took your last breath today, that you have no guarantee. You're not certain where you'd spend your next day, where you'd spend eternity. Please, please consider. There's not a more important thing that you can ever consider. As these young men speak with the counselors, there may be others. Please don't hesitate. Please be patient. These aren't temporal things we're talking about. These are the things of eternity. Please be patient. be seated. Danette's going to sing a beautiful song called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And even as she sings that song, I would just commend to you, if God is dealing with your heart, the real question, the real issue is what you do about it. And I'd ask you, even there in the quietness of your seat, if the Lord's dealing with you, the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, turn the eyes of your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him as Felicia did this afternoon, as your personal Savior, as your Lord. The things of this world do grow strangely dim, the light of His glory and grace. Well, as Mr. Biggers makes his way to prepare for you all to come by and final viewing, I would just ask you to be mindful that the family is asked to have a private time together at the internment. There won't be a procession to the cemetery. So just be mindful that you visit with them now and say your give them your blessing and your prayers, Brother.